This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. It's hard to cry when you're laughing. That's the observation of local comedian Tabari McCoy, who's working to overcome some long-standing fears now that he's in the lower foothills of his 40s. I spoke with Tabari earlier. Tabari McCoy, thanks for coming in today. It's good to see you.
And you as well.
So you're a comedian, and you're a comedian from Cincinnati, and
yes.
I'm wondering, was there anything about being from Cincinnati that made you funny?
No, not in the slightest. There is nothing inherently funny about being from Cincinnati, or almost, I would say, any city, because having somewhat over my fear of flying, I've come to realize something. One, most major cities are just because they're located near water. There's nothing special about a big city. People think that big cities have something special. No, it's because there was whatever religious deity you believe in that created a big amount of water there, and people said, ooh, let's irrigate crops. And now 100 years later, we've polluted the entire environment with all of our towers and cell phone receptions and everything else, so people can take selfies and people can make dumb faces with emojis and filters on Snapchat while all I'm trying to do is get through traffic. So yes, nothing inherently funny about being from Cincinnati, but being from a big city, it does help.
It does help because you have more opportunities for interactions with people. And I assume that has to inspire a lot of what you laugh about.
Well, you know, I always say I like comedy for two reasons. First, I feel like today's comedians are the last social critics that we have, because if we ever had an honest politician, you know, I think that person would probably get assassinated before they got to the primaries, because we don't want honesty. We want people to lie to our face. And that's as much as I can say in Cincinnati without getting on a rant that can get me in trouble. But the other reason that I like comedy is that it's hard to cry when you're laughing. You can cry from laughing, but very few people laugh from crying. If you see somebody laugh from crying, that's a psychopath, and there's probably at least three police cases that we could probably solve.
All right, so where do you mine your material from, do you think?
The earth and its general populace. A lot of people, when they meet comedians, they'll come up to us and they'll say things like, oh, so what are you doing in your little skit? First of all, it's not called a skit. They're called bits, because bits of material equal a set. Skits are the things you watch improv groups do. And there's good improv groups, and then there are the majority. Now, when it comes to finding material, you know, you can walk around, you can see things, and, you know, comedians' brains just work in a little bit of different fashion where we look at the idiosyncrasies of things. So I'll look at something and I'll be like, oh, that doesn't make sense, or, that's ironic, not paying Alanis Morissette to say the rest of that. But, you know, it's like, oh, we'll point those things out and then we can take them and turn them into mirth for an audience.
So you're in your early 40s.
Yeah.
And I'm about to enter that phase as well. Do you find anything funny about the new decade?
Well, there are things that, you know, as you get older, there are certain things that do happen. Like, for example, you know, when you're 20, you just go out and you do stuff and everything is fine. Now, if I get out of a chair too fast, I find myself making Randy Macho Man Savage noises where it's like, hey, DeBar, you want to go? I'm like, oh, yeah. It's like, hold on. Let me stretch. You know, it's like I've gotten to a point now where I appreciate a good sit. The ability to find a comfortable chair is something that is completely unappreciated by a 13-year-old or a 21-year-old. You're not trying to sit down. You're too busy running around. If you want to get a 40-year-old criminal, let him run for the police for about a mile and then just put a chair, a nice couch in the middle of a safe alley. Oh, that guy will be knocked out with a nap. You'll get all your money back.
Oh, man, I'm so upset right now because I made a Randy Macho Man Savage reference this week, too. And I think that connects us.
Well, that's the thing, is that one thing as a comedian I know is you got to make sure that you can always relate to the audience, because you don't want to, I mean, at least I don't want to be the old guy where, you know, I'm
expected to be the old guy if you're
out,
making Macho Man references.
But I have younger references, too, because I stay abreast of popular culture.
I'm lost.
Because there was a guy I was working with once at my home club here in Cincinnati, and he was on stage at a college night, and it was a pure college crowd, and he made an R.E.M. reference.
Ooh,
remember R.E.M.?
Of course.
Yeah, Michael Stipe and the hair and the face and all that, and looking like one of the guys from Easter Island. He made an R.E.M. reference. Now, as an African-American, I'm not supposed to know who R.E.M. is, but I went to Catholic school in the 80s and then Christian school, so I know a lot of everything. But he made that R.E.M. reference. You ever seen Coming to America?
Yeah, of course.
You remember the scene in Coming to America where Eddie Murphy's character, Randy Watson, is on the stage stomping around going, Statue of Chocolate?
Yes.
He was doing that on stage with R.E.M. because he's like, shiny, happy people. Because nobody under the age of 21 in that audience had a clue who he was talking about.
Oh, man.
So that's one thing. As you get older, you'll realize, you can realize if people are too young for you to hang around, where if you make references and they go, huh, or if they make references and you go, huh, you both need to stop asking each other questions.
Well, how do you apply that to dating? Because being a single guy, you have the opportunities being out in clubs, and you're probably meeting some people who are younger. And what's the rule? Like, they take your age, you divide it by
I have a friend of mine. He's 15 years older than his wife. He's my role model and hero. I want him to write a book so I can read it. My thing is very simple. I'm out here. I'm single as a dollar in a homeless man's pocket while he's eating a burger from Wendy's. I couldn't be more painfully single. I'm really tired of it. There's any single women that are not terribly too crazy. Yeah, I went there. Did I say some of you are crazy? I've met you. Let's move forward. But if there's any single woman out there that happen to be listening to this, feel free to look at my website. Just don't do me like we're going to be in a Stephen King novel, and we'll make it work. But the thing that I found is that it's really about A, your interests, B, your goals, and C, the personalities. If one of you wants to go home and watch Law and Order all night, and the other one wants to go watch like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, one of you should probably stab the other one, because you're not going to make it. Just save the time. And if you want to watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you should probably be in school or jail.
What? How do you date these days?
I can't get past the second date. I'm like on job interviews. They're like, well, thank you for coming. We like your resume. You have a lot of talent, but we just don't think it's a fit.
Well, what's the first date? Is it just a phone interview?
Well, that's the thing now. Technology has ruined us. You know, we don't know how to connect with people anymore because everything is just digital. We don't value each other's time. We don't do face-to-face interactions. You ever tried to get three or four people to meet up to go somewhere at the same time? If you can find someone that should do that, you should put them in Congress, because they are going to be much better served helping our country get out of all of our different ruts and different strife situations than trying to get five people to meet up at an Applebee's after they go see a bad movie starring an overrated actor past his or her prime. You know what I mean? I mean, dating these days, I don't even know, because too many people now view themselves as super independent. So they don't realize that a relationship should be two people coming together who had the same interests and same goals. And therefore, when they're together, it makes things a better unit, like the way a football team is supposed to work. Instead, we end up getting a lot of people that date and end up like the 0-16 Cleveland Browns. They got a lot of talent. They just can't put it together.
Can't work it out.
They just can't work it. I mean, if you think about dating, dating is a lot like the NFL draft, because you use the same terms. Hey, how was your date with Carol? She's got a lot of upside. You know, I think she got a lot of upside. I think she's a good prospect. You know, if we can just put a couple things together, you know, get some tutelage in there, learn from a couple of veterans, things will be all right. You know, I mean, hey, it's like, hey, here's that 40-yard dash away from commitment. It's like, it's the same thing. This is how I end up writing jokes earlier. You know, I was talking about, you were asking earlier about how I write material. I just end up talking. A local comedian, he has a great quote about me. He said, you know, when I first met Tabari, I thought he was always practicing bits. Then I just realized he just talks like that.
I like that you reference that somebody else has a great quote about you. I think that's the kind of confidence you need when you're out dating.
You know what's funny? You give me a microphone and a stage, I have confidence because I'm an only child. And now they have to listen to me? Oh, great. But otherwise, I'm kind of like, I was going to name my second album that came out last June, Remarkable, available on Rooftop Comedy, Amazon, and iTunes. I wanted to call it Black Charlie Brown, because I really feel like Charlie Brown some days. Charlie Brown is just like the ultimate underdog. He means well. He doesn't offend anybody, at least not on purpose. And sometimes people just treat that poor guy like the world's worst person. And all he needs is a glimmer of hope to try and turn those things around. And, you know, life itself, it can be a very hard existence. You know, that's just in everyday, day-to-day activities. And sometimes things happen where you just don't feel like you gotta win. But then something can come along and it gives you that little bit of glimmer of hope. And just like Charlie, it keeps you moving forward. And when I'm on stage, that's my time to be able to talk about the things that I see, the things that I think about, relate them to an audience as a whole. And more often than not, the people laugh, I get paid, and I get to come back to that venue in the future.
You were 35 years old when you learned how to swim.
Tried to learn how to swim on a different note. See, I was talking about success. He's like, let me bring him right back down to earth. No, but the thing is, like, I tried to learn how to swim because, you know, I'm trying to get over a lot of my different fears and phobias. And, you know, learning how to swim is kind of necessary. Plus, as I mentioned before, we do live near a big body of water. So I took swimming lessons, and I can swim with a noodle because I forget to kick my legs. Mm. So, you know, it's one of the things where it's just like, bloop, 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 bloop. My swimming instructor, very nice young guy, very positive attitude, had the puka shells working. He was like, you know, I've never seen anybody that just can't float, because I would just sink on down, just doop, 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 doop.
Did you have any fear of pools growing up because you couldn't swim, or did you find other ways to enjoy the pool?
Well, I don't have what they call a pool physique. I didn't have one as a child, and hey, that has not changed now. So I was never too worried about going to the pool because, you know, A, it's hot.
It is hot.
It's hot at the pool. Second, not being the young kid that was in shape, you know, whatever. I mean, I am a shape. I'm round. That's not exactly what the goal is, but I don't really have a pool physique. And now, being 41 and a half, if I'm at the pool and the girls are too young, it's creepy. If I'm at the pool and they're older than me, it's supposed to be creepy for them, but I don't care.
There's
but
not a place at pools for 40-year-olds.
There's a lot of places that aren't for 40-year-olds.
I think you're right. Where else are you seeing this?
I used to do a joke about this. I said, zoos. I'm on the road a lot. I used to perform in Indianapolis at this club, which has since closed. You know, I would kind of kill time during the day because Indianapolis is a cool city. But after a while, you know, you go somewhere enough, you run out of things to do. And my friends are like, yeah, you should go check out the zoo. And I'm like, yeah, you should get bail money because I'm not doing that. If you just saw a 40-year-old dude walking around, there'll be women with the kids like, come here, Timothy. Like, no one wants to see that dude.
So tell me then, how do you spend your free time when you're looking to have some fun?
There's a lot of things that I do. I am a man of many interests, many of which seem to be very juvenile. But for everything adult about me, there's something equally childlike, you know, to balance it out. You know, because I have like two Roth IRAs, but then I go autograph collecting and things of that nature. I have a sneaker collection with my size 14 to 15 shoe.
Whoa.
And when you're 5'7" and you wear a size 14 to 15 shoe, when everybody finds out what size shoe I wear, I get what I call the neck dip. The neck dip is I'll go to a shoe store and they'll be like, hey, you got this shoe? Like, what size? You know, I'll go, the biggest one you got. They'll be like, what size? And then I just say, the 14 or 15. And they go, you need it? And I'm like, yeah, my eyes are up here. It's like, that's the closest I get to being me too, is that they stare at my feet.
I'm up here.
You know,
yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's just like, yeah. So I do things like that. I'm a big movie buff. I write a movie blog, mccoyonmovies.blogspot.com. A couple of websites run my things because I love films. And when I review films, I review them for what they are. I have a friend of mine who writes for a very well-known publication here in town who you may see on a local television station every Friday morning. He enjoys...
You can name drop. It's all right.
I'm not going to give him the credit. But he enjoys cinema. And there are some movies that are just movies. If it's a comedy, does it make me laugh? And does it not have a bunch of retreaded jokes that I've seen in bad, you know, tropes and bad things that we've seen over and over again? If it's a drama, is it an intelligent drama? Does it draw you into the story? Is it a horror movie? Does it scare me? Or are these the type of people dying in this film that comedians, usually black comedians, have been making fun of since the 1980s? So, you know, I have a lot of different things that I enjoy. I like to read a lot. When I'm in different cities, I like to go try to find a nice, like, cupcake shop. Although, I got my physical last month, so we'll be doing a lot less sugar. So we're trying to hang in there.
But you do keep a movie blog.
Yes, I do.
And it's TabariMcCoy.com, or that's your personal website?
You can get to my movie blog from TabariMcCoy.com. That's right. That's kind of like my super target,
yeah,
if you will.
I will.
You know, so it's like, you know how you have little stores inside of stores, and you're like, why is that place renting a space inside of a Walmart? The movie blog you can get to from my main website. Mm-hmm. And since no one can spell my name, it's always TABARI, and then McCoy, common spelling. The thing about that is that I've learned nothing is common anymore because people have gotten very creative with names. I mean, I know I can't say much about that, but I used to work at the Cincinnati Enquirer, and when we were at that time at the Sin Weekly publication, we had our names in the front of the paper. And I'll never forget, one day somebody sent a letter addressed to Pabart.
Pabart.
Pabart. You know, that lovable children's character. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great series of books. I'm like, this is just kind of like, if I ever write children's
Babar,
books.
Babar, the elephant.
I think they were thinking of Babar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I have my children's book character now. I'm going to get him some nice galoshes and a hat. We'll introduce him to Paddington. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I see a movie spinoff from that.
You know, exactly.
What's been the best movie so far this year?
Ooh, it depends on the genre that you like.
Okay, well, I think television is really great right now. And
okay.
So I'm just like a series guy.
Okay.
I did see Rocket Man in the past few weeks, the Elton John
mm-hmm.
movie. I thought that was fine.
I heard good things about it. I think I was on the road and they didn't do a press screening. I can't remember. Usually when they don't do a press screening for a film, that's a sign that it's bad. But I think I was out of town. I've heard nothing but good things. I like Taron Egerton, although he did some movie where he was skiing and I was like, yeah, I'm good.
No skiing movies.
No. The last thing I cared about with skiing in it was like, you know, Hot Tub Time Machine and the movie in the 80s where somebody had to ski the K-12.
But we were talking before we went on about a couple of television series mm-hmm. that center around comedians.
Yes.
One that I happen to like called Crashing on
yes.
HBO. You broke the news to me today
mm-hmm.
that it's canceled.
Yes.
And then the one on Showtime is called...
I'm Dying Up Here, based on a book of the same name about the stand-up comedy scene in California in the 1970s.
And you think this is because people don't care about comedians?
No, people do not care about comedy. People enjoy big name comedians because whenever people find out that, you know, you do comedy, they'll ask you who you've met, saying like, hey, you may be funny, but whatever. Who have you met that I've seen on TV? Because TV, to this day, is still the main validation point. It is the main you have made it. Although nowadays, there are literally thousands of comedians. And with Comedy Central and Netflix and, you know, other radio that people can choose to listen to or they're not, because they would, why would they switch from this network?
Why would they switch?
Why would they switch? But with so many different outlets now, you have so many comics. I can name dozens of comedians and people go, I've never heard of them. And then they'll see them and they're like, oh, they're hilarious. But then they forget. It's not like a band. Music touches people in a way that comedy, for whatever reason, tends not to do. I wish it did, but it just doesn't seem to do that. But comedy isn't respected because we don't think about the art of trying to craft thoughts to make complete strangers, sometimes halfway intoxicated, giggle at something that they have not thought of or have not even approached in the way that the person on stage is approaching it. And to be able to do that is great. And that's why when I've done events such as the Brouhaha event, which is coming up later this month here in Cincinnati, being on that stage in prime time in front of 2,000 to 3,000 people and making them laugh is an adrenaline rush that I can only compare to what I would think it would be like to win a Super Bowl, because unfortunately my hometown team has had 2 shots at it in the 80s when I was a kid. And, well, you know, we've got footage. Yeah.
You know, I also noticed, though, that comedians are emerging all over the place because of social media. And they may not even be people who identify as, but comedy seems to be everywhere. I know that social media is an absolute dumpster fire, particularly in our political climate. But I can scroll Twitter all day and laugh all day from people that I've never heard of who are finding a funny take on something. They're creating videos on something. Do you think that the ubiquity of humor is having an impact on the traditional delivery?
I don't think it's so much just the ubiquity of humor, but more the fact that we just now have many more ways to get it. So now that we have many more avenues to get it, you know, we have a lot of people that think they're funny, or people can say something one time, or they'll retweet, or as was the case with the guy who was going to have a Comedy Central series who got caught stealing material from someone on Twitter and things of that nature. It's not about the idea of quality. It's almost like the idea of who's first. One thing that I try to avoid is usually commentating on the types of events that would end up in a, you know, late night television show monologue, because you'll come up with an idea about here's what happened today, and you can go on Twitter and you can find 35 other takes similar to it. And it's good that we have more outlets and more venues, but it's one of those things where it almost waters down the production. For example, as a sports fan, I like watching sports. Then you put a lot of expansion teams in and it's like, hey, tonight on NBA on TNT, it's the Denver Nuggets versus the Orlando Magic. Please watch before it's a rerun of Law & Order for the 50th time. Like, you know, I'm a big thing about quality over quantity.
Yeah, I agree. They can't possibly put any more teams in the NCAA tournament, can they?
Well, you know, hey, we got to give NKU fans some hope.
I'm one of them.
I know.
I'm a grad.
You know, you know,
2 out of 3 years of eligibility. They made it twice. It's exciting.
Yeah. You know, I went to UC and I write for Xavier. So, you know, I'm just happy that anybody locally is doing anything. I'm like that mom in the stands going, you can do it, baby.
Yeah.
You know, that's me at this point.
I consider myself the same way. But look, you got, if you want to really make it in comedy, you got to go to one of the coasts, right? New York, LA, and you're in Cincinnati.
Well, yeah, that's the main thing is that, you know, we were talking about this before. It's like I started doing stand-up when I was 29 as part of a story I was doing covering the local scene, because I'd always loved comedy, dating back to the days where a certain former hero of mine was better known for Kodak and pudding other than, well, you know. I like Cincinnati for the fact that it's a big city, but it's a small city. You can get almost anywhere within 20 minutes. You know, we're close to bigger cities like Chicago. New York is just too many people. You have 8.5 million people on an island. Plus, when you look at all of the action movies, they're taking place in 1 or 2 areas usually. Los Angeles and New York. Horrible things like hurricanes outside of New Orleans. L.A. or New York. Earthquakes. L.A. You know where you've never seen a disaster movie take place? Duluth, Minnesota. Even if they had a volcano, they'd be like, it's getting hot, eh?
They'd be pretty easygoing about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. If I was a younger man before I had bought property like I did when I was on HGTV back in 2007. You know,
you were on one of the shows?
Mm-hmm.
Like Property Buyers, one of the property buying shows?
Property Virgins, as a matter of fact.
All right. So tell me
yes.
what that was like, because I didn't know that.
Yes. So HGTV Canada brought down its production team, and they shot 7 or 8 episodes here in Cincinnati back in the early, mid-2000s for a show called Property Virgins, where the premise was you had no property at the beginning of the episode, and at the end, you had, you know, signed away your life and lost your property virginity. And it was a nice experience, but some of the houses they showed me, I'm like, man, is my budget this bad? Like, and then, you know, they were labeling neighborhoods wrong because they don't know where they're going and whatnot. So I'm still in that house right now, still trying to find ways to pay for it. So, yeah,
that's
it was nice.
Cool. So you've had some national TV exposure then. Mm-hmm.
And I was on a show on the Fox network called Laughs on Fox, but it only aired in 13 select markets. Mm. So it was a national show, so people in L.A. and New York could see me, but it did not air here in Cincinnati. I think the closest location was Louisville, Kentucky.
All right. Well, that's not a bad city to be in either. You got a couple events coming up. The Brouhaha. Yes. Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. What is that? Did you say Sawyer Point?
Sawyer Point at Bicentennial Commons. I don't know what my full schedule is yet, but for the person that books the event, I'm plugging it. You better get me a good slot.
And then we've got you at the comic book store, the Up, Up, and Away shop in Blue Ash.
Yes.
Not Cheviot.
Correct, because if you go to the Cheviot location, there'll be a store there and a parking lot with nothing else happening. We are over at the Blue Ash location on Thursday, August 29th. It's a show that I host. It's a show that I set up to give local comedians a chance to develop more material, because when you're in a club setting or even like the average open mic, you get maybe 3 to 5 minutes. This is where you can come see people doing 10, 12, sometimes 15, and our headliner will be doing 20, so they get a chance to develop material, but it's a pre-booked show, so I select people who I've seen be funny, and now they're going to be a little bit funnier for a little bit longer. And we have a really good lineup for this upcoming show, and I know it because I picked it.
That sounds like fun, for sure. Absolutely. More details at WVXU.org in the Cincinnati Edition tab. We've got links to all of that, including a link to Tabari McCoy. Tabari, I believe there's a pair of shoes, a pool, and a woman out there for you somewhere, brother. Thanks for coming in and chatting.
Well, you know, I think that she might be in a war-torn country, and I'm not going over there, so she's got to get over here or swim and bring the shoes.
I hope it happens. Thanks for coming in.
No problem. Thank you much.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our show are online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.